Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. We're going to get into some marketing. But more importantly, this show is also sponsored by Reclaiming the Republic as well as republicreview.org. And if you happen to hear some burdened breathing, heavy breathing, that's my bulldog Maggie. She gets really upset sometimes when she can't be with me. So anyway, nevertheless, if you hear it, then there, you know, sometimes she even barks at me because she's such a fussy dog. But anywho, I've been trying to tell you this. So we did get an interview with Trevor Lawton. So that is going to be coming up on Thursday. And we also interviewed Sheriff Mack. That will be coming up on Friday. It'll be pretty much the extent of both of the shows. Trevor Lawton is really disclosing some things that you really need to know. You do not understand how broad the communist movement has infiltrated and how active they are. They are more politically active in America than patriots. And even, you know, if you look at where political energy is coming from in America, it is coming from the communists. I don't know how you feel about that, but they are going to run away with, you know, our liberty. They're going to run away with America. And if Trevor Lawton is right, in just a few years, we'll be speaking, or actually those of us that'll be left, will be speaking Chinese. And I don't know if that's Cantonese or Mandarin. I don't know what the formal, I do know that there's two dialects, but I don't believe that English will, because, and I remember reading this in the beginning of the century. It was about 2001, there was a book that came out, and it was a 30-year plan for China to basically dominate the world because they have way too many people. You've heard me say this all the time. China is looking for a place to occupy, and they believe that America is, you know, it needs to be their garden to feed them because they realize the immensity and the capability and the potential of, you know, getting everything you need out of one country. It's right here in America. And Trevor Lawton, and I don't want to spoil the interview, but, you know, he talks about Russia and all of the communists and how they've been working together. They're not enemies. The enemy of my enemy, you know, I forget how do you say that, because bottom line is somebody that may be your enemy, but they're also an enemy of your, you know, another enemy that you have. They would rather become, you know, quasi, you know, fake friends to work together against that enemy. And that's pretty much global communism. It is all about control. Literally, it is all about control. So I'm really excited, not just about these interviews, but the reason why I'm airing interviews on Thursday and Friday is, and you're going to find out anyway, I'm going to Wyoming. There's the convention that's coming up, and I will be there. We'll have a booth, and I'll be, you know, meeting, speaking with, and we'll probably have some sidebars and presentations and what have you, so that people can start understanding the importance of Section 3 as well as the importance of standing for the Constitution. And when I say standing for the Constitution, I just don't mean standing up against some enforcement, some law, because when it comes to the Leviathan is far greater than anything. And when I say greater than anything, it's greater than one specific thing or a few of the things that are tangible that we can reach out, such as, let's just say, the Department of Forestry, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Energy, the BLM, the Department of Interior. Those are tangible things we can kind of reach out. But there are other things like homosexual marriage. does the federal government have jurisdiction to dictate who can be married and who can't be married? No. And so when I start talking to individuals that have organizations about the Constitution and supporting the Constitution and all of that, and, oh, we're gonna nullify this. But every single one of these organizations cherry picks what they want to nullify. And I, in the conversation I had just today was, you know, just because you're successful in stopping one sin, but all of the other sins are continuing. I mean, how is it that you've really done good? I mean, it's a Pyrrhus victory, isn't it? And if you understand a Pyrrhus victory, you suffer and sustain such a great loss in your victory that you actually lose the battle. And so I want to put it in perspective. Any organization that's myopic, that is trying to seek, and, oh, we're going to get, you know, these things, and you know, just for the sake of sheriffs. If a sheriff is not engaged, in supporting the Constitution full-heartedly. In other words, do you have the Department of Forestry in your county? Do you have the Department of Energy? Do you have the EPA? Do you have any unconstitutional government in your county? If you do, you should be going and saying you have no jurisdiction in this county. I don't care what you're doing. You need to pack up and leave, because we believe in an enumerated constitution where the states delegate the jurisdiction and authority to the federal government, that the federal government does not have the authority to actually presume any type of role, responsibility, and power that they want and just be able to take it. And see, in the big picture, you can't cherry pick what you want to support and what you don't want to support. And I know that there's lots of really good people, but you know what? We all got to get on the same sheet. It's all about full support of the Constitution and not supporting unconstitutional government. Boom, done. If you want your soundbite, there it is. It's about supporting the Constitution and fighting and not supporting. So I got that reversed. So not supporting and fighting and disbanding all unconstitutional government. If, and I want to pound on the desk like I did in my previous episode, if you believe that, you know, this institution, this role, responsibility, and power might be constitutional, you better weigh it and connect it directly to an enumerated power. If not, then you have to stand on, because if you're supporting the Constitution, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you support and you embrace the Constitution, then you have to stand against every violation of the Constitution, whether that comes from the Supreme Court, whether that comes from Congress, or whether that comes from the president. And this is where, you know, 9 times out of 10, we find conservatives all of a sudden backpedaling and going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because some of the things that Trump does is unconstitutional. Some of the things that other presidents, Reagan and so forth, they didn't understand the Constitution. I've been telling you that in some ways, the best thing about Trump is because he hasn't been educated on what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional. The problem is that he does not have anybody within his cabinet that fully understands the Constitution. They understand it as the progressives have sold it. They, you know, if not, Trump would be actually challenging the veracity of all of this unconstitutional government. He would actually see how the framers had framed this Constitution and how it was defined legally in the ratification debates. This is why, folks, I go through this all the time. This is why we keep on repeating this. And I'm not trying to be a broken record, but I figure if I say it different ways and use different citations, it'll sink in. And I do know that my listeners that listen, you guys are probably the smartest and the strongest people who understand, you're not the strongest in strength, but you have the strongest grasp on the Constitution, more so than a Supreme Court justice, because a Supreme Court justice has been polluted by the education system and by the court system, which has allowed such a severe perversion of our Constitution. I mean, federal judges don't even take a real oath to the office. Go read the federal judge's oath of office. It's to make sure that, you know, there's this, you know, fair case that's going on. If you read Article 6, Section 3, even federal judges, state judges, are to swear an oath to support the Constitution. And if there's something that creates a conflict, like making sure equal justice or these other things, if there is anything that creates a conflict with the Constitution, your support of the Constitution is to outweigh all of that. In other words, what the framers did, or actually, let's call it for what it is. What the divine hand of providence gave us was a system that when you grasp the magnitude and the importance of, you know, morality, and when I say morality, I don't even talk about Christian or religious morality, right from wrong, being honest, not lying, not being a hypocrite, actually understanding in a moral basis that your obligation is to fully support the Constitution. Every public servant has done this. So in my last episode, I really glazed over the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So one of the things I want to kind of go through is I'm going to introduce you to some of the information that's in this article, because you're going to want to get a copy of this. And I actually realized one of the things I've got to change. So I'm editing on the fly as we go through this, but we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so the article on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, or the title of the article, is not actually Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The title of the article is The Unknown Teeth in the Constitution. I figured let's call it for what it is. As I just kind of... in talking with both Trevor and with Sheriff Mack, I kind of pointed out that who knows about, you know, what Section 3 is. You know, whether you understand it or not, it is the supreme law of the land. And my biggest point to everybody, not just them, my biggest point to everybody is the fact that that was included in the 14th Amendment, that if you take an oath of office and you violate that oath, as I had kind of read, and one of the things I'm going to change in this is I'm going to actually provide another paragraph to literally state, you know, if one was reading this so that it doesn't, you don't feel so convoluted going down all these little rat holes of the types of public servants there are and what they were trying to do with this, because maybe that would help people start to understand what Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is really all about. It's all about holding our public servants accountable. And as a matter of fact, there has to be consequences for when you take an oath of office and you fail to live up to that oath. When the time comes and you need to vote on something, you don't vote on unconstitutional powers, money, or what have you. If it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional. Guess what? The epiphany came very, very clear to me. You know, as I understood it, and as it's been revealed, and when I say revealed, I mean in that I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. When I was looking at the Republic of View and what I was doing, I was going, what do I need? You know, is this correct or is there something I need to change? And I, at this point in time, I had been focused on Article 7 of the Constitution for the veracity that this is a compact, that the states are the ultimate arbiters and they have the ultimate authority over this Constitution. They are the enforcers of the Constitution. Technically, the force that executes the Constitution is what? The militia. The militia comes from where? Well, it comes from the states, but within the states, it comes from the counties. It means we, the people. And so if you start understanding the beauty of the system that we have, wow. Okay, so the epiphany, if you want to call it the revelation, the affirmation truly came when I said, is it really about, you know, Article 7? And it came to me as clear as this. The heavens and the earth were created in 6 days, and on the seventh, you know, our God rested and he sanctified that day. Our Articles of Confederation were basically recompiled into six articles. And in six articles, there was the creation of the general government. And in the seventh article, there was a resting of the power and the authority upon the states by creating a compact and requiring that the states buy into this. In other words, because they had to actually buy into this Constitution, it gave them the onus and responsibility of safeguarding and ensuring that the federal government that was created by the Constitution stayed within its bounds as defined by the Constitution. And so ever since the framers started passing away, that has been lost and that has been perverted, subverted, whatever you want to call it. And so there was no doubt in my mind that, you know, I was on the right track with this. And so as we started, you know, the next thing, you know, there were quite a few little things, but one of the next things that really came across was, you know, well, I want to say it was about a year ago when I started talking to, and her name, she is probably the heart and soul of the National Liberty Alliance. And so I don't have her permission to mention her name, so I won't. But anyway, she started explaining to me the common law grand juries. Now, to be clear, there's a great gentleman by the name of Mark Urbach who started talking to me about common law grand juries in Georgia, and he introduced me to Paul Nally out of Georgia. And he was considered a foremost authority on common law grand juries in Georgia and had successfully convened some common law grand juries out there. And so, you know, it's not that I didn't take it for granted, but I didn't get all of the pieces to the puzzle yet. I did realize that there's this thing that actually has force, and it's called the common law grand jury. Well, after meeting Mark Erbach and him exposing me to this, so this got planted in the old brain housing group, I also met Bob Schultz. And understanding our First Amendment right of petitioning government, most people confuse our right of protest. We don't have a right to go out and protest. And what you see is a Bolshevik revolution. The framers were abhorred. I mean, they believed that civil unrest, rioting and protesting is unacceptable, and that the sheriff needs to keep the peace. And if the sheriff can't, then he's to call on the militia. If they can't, then they're to call on the federal government to bring the militia in, to bring in law and order. As a matter of fact, the paradigm in the early days of this republic, you couldn't even peacefully assemble in the streets. Let's say there's a little mayhem going on, this scuffle or a fight or even an accident. If a bunch of people assembled in the roadway or on the sidewalk and blocking people from being able to move, the sheriff and or the constable or the police who's on the scene, whoever is there to enforce the laws, the peace officer, then what they would do, and you'd see it in the movies. All right, move along. There's nothing to see here. You keep it moving. And that's what they would do, because you don't have a right to stop commerce from being engaged. When somebody's trying to, get their goods to a store or get goods from a store so they can do their business or what have you, they have a civil right to be able to conduct commerce. And when somebody stops or hinders the flow of commerce or the flow of your right to be able to get somewhere, then that person is impeding commerce. And actually, there have been laws in every state regarding the impeding of just traffic. If you drive too slow, a peace officer or a sheriff should actually pull you over and actually cite you for impeding traffic. So where in the heck did all of a sudden this right to get out and protest become an actual constitutional right? It's never been amended. And my point is, because I've talked about this before, my point is that what Bob Schultz is doing is he's actually doing what our First Amendment right really is. It is petitioning government and for the for them to address our grievances. It's kind of a cumbersome language, or I should say it's a cumbersome statement when you actually read the language itself. Because let me see here if I can find it. And I know I can find it. Let me see here. No, that's not it. That is the other amendment. So the First Amendment says this, and it's pretty easy to read. It says to petition the government for redress, not address, for redress of grievances. So there we go. Now I've quoted it. So as these things started coming to me, so Bob Schultz and what he was doing, okay, that absolutely makes sense that the Constitution gave us this right as citizens to basically call upon government that they had to formally redress our grievances. And so that's why we, I'm embracing what Bob Schultz wants to get on board with the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And I'm telling you that going in to petition your county commissioners, going in and challenging them that nobody has the right. So this is kind of, and I'm paraphrasing, this is the petition that you go in and you petition your county government that, and you state the case that the Constitution is enumerated, and you lay out this huge, and I want to work with them in doing this, laying out the constitutional argument that no public servant has the authority without calling forth the militia in suspending any constitutional rights, and laying out this argument. Therefore, because the militia has not been deployed or called for by the governors, by anybody at the state level or the federal government, that not one public servant has the constitutional authority to suspend your constitutional rights and have the county commissioners basically make the declaration that that is absolutely true. So you've got that as one mechanism of driving a spear or, you know, poking the pig and, you know, kind of pinning it to the board as one mechanism of saying you do not have the right to suspend our constitutional rights. And that's within the Constitution. So when we come back, now that we've kind of gotten up to where Bob Schultz, because it just made sense working with Bob Schultz, was, you know, it dovetails with Republic Review. And I'll tell you why when we come back. So please stay tuned, and we'll be back with common law grand juries and how this all dovetails in the entire battleground of what we have to fight. We'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so as I was just saying, in working with Bob Schultz and pursuing our First Amendment rights, clearly, you know, the framers saw that as a mechanism and as a tool to hold government accountable. What do you do in a blue county? What do you do in a blue state when, you know, your vote, you can't substantially make the change? Well, your bottom bare minimum, because you can't even get a sheriff to stand up. So your bare minimum is this First Amendment right in petitioning government and forcing them to account for their egregious violations. So it obviously dovetailed. It just made sense that, okay, so this is a great, I'll just say it's a great wedge. It's a great penetrator into the pig and helping people understand that, you know, the Constitution's given us these tools and here is one. But more importantly, using this tool to point to something else in the Constitution that actually is a weapon. As I said in the last episode, we're talking about a nuclear bomb. If all of a sudden everybody woke up and said Section 3 of the 14th Amendment can actually, we can just push this button practically and get rid of every, I wanted to use expletives. I was going to go back to my old Marine Corps training and just start blurting out expletives. So, you know, I'm showing my control here. My self-control. Anyway, what we have with this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is so powerful because apparently the divine hand of providence gave us a law, a supreme law of the land that nobody can be in office if they violate their oath. Isn't that what you've been looking for? And right there, it was right in front of you. So my friends, what we want to do with the We the People Foundation is integrate this whole thing in challenging the veracity, the eligibility, the qualifications of everybody who has been supporting unconstitutional government. Because it doesn't just start with the stay home. Or actually, it does just start with that, but it doesn't end there. That's what I meant to say. It doesn't end with that. This is the beginning point because, okay, if they can't do that, what else can't they do? And this becomes the huge uncovering of the constitutional limitations that at a state level, the federal level, and all these levels that we're supposed to be supporting the Constitution and how we're supposed to support this. I mean, this is, like I said, this is huge because Section 3 becomes the catalyst that actually becomes that, if you want to call, I don't know what's greater than a hydrogen bomb, but if we could actually create, and actually maybe, let's call it the God particle. Because anybody that understands this concept of the God particle is what supposedly was used in creating the universe. It was a trigger mechanism that in a cascade of events after that thing was, you know, ignited or whatever happens, a collision of ions or whatever, that there was this cascading events of galaxies getting created, that matter was forming. I mean, literally, the creation of matter because of the sheer energy that went into that God particle. And so if you're getting your mind wrapped around this, you could start seeing how Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is like the trigger point. And I will just say the final front of the war is Republic Review. Once the states have asserted their authority and is put the Constitution into their protection to say, this is our compact, not yours, federal government. You have no authority over this. This is ours. And we're going to enforce this here and now and always. As a matter of fact, I was just telling this to, and so I'm going to come out of the closet. So any John Bircher that's out there that's listening, this guy's claiming he doesn't want an amendment. We're going to get him here. And here's where you can use this. If you understand Republic Review, the one amendment that can be made to the Constitution, which actually meets Madison's desire of removing the Article 5 Convention, is Republic Review. And what I mean by that is once the states assert their authority and actually become an active participant in checking and balancing out the federal government, it becomes a measure of permanency. That's what I meant. So in other words, once the states actually reach in and say, you know what, we are watching you and we have, this is exactly what Hamilton and Madison was talking about. This is precisely the barriers that the states were supposed to create so that they didn't need to have an Article 5 convention. There go. If you understand the ramifications of Republic Review, the Article 5 convention in Article 5 can be stricken from the Constitution because now the states have taken their active position in defending the Constitution instead of having to, you know, convene this dangerous thing called a constitutional convention. If you understand that, then we have the mechanisms and the need when the states actually feel that something needs to be changed, they can still follow the exact same process because I'm telling you, every single amendment that we've received, good or bad, has all come from the prying and the impetus and the poking from the states. Hey, government, you need to do this. Very few times has the federal government said, you know what? Actually, they have. But 9 times out of 10, when the federal government wants to expand on their powers, They just do it. They just try to create a bill and they start enforcing it. Just like the Brady bill back with Sheriff Mack. They've constantly been stepping on the Constitution for over 200 years. It's just the magnitude of their stepping and the damage that they're doing has grown and grown to such a level that our Constitution is being shredded to smithereens. There's an old word. Anyway, so moving on, about a year ago, let me see here. No, actually, it was the turn of this year. After talking to this honcho, I'll just call her a honcho with the National Liberty Alliance, we finally connected, and this is where I connected with John DeRash and his leadership. And actually, my hat's off to John DeRash because he actually made time for me on a couple of Saturdays with his leadership to meet with me. What happened was, I wanted to talk to somebody at the National Liberty Alliance to talk about, you know, common law and the grand jury, the common law grand juries. And so this honcho said, well, you've got to do this with John because he's the man. And ergo, we connected and I did this interview. Well, as you've listened, you know, prior to that interview, you know, we talked for about 20 minutes about Republic Review and the source and everything else. And at the very beginning, John was, I don't buy into that. I can't. And he was, you know, being, I'll just say dismissive because he didn't see the bigger picture. And it took him a little time. But this is where my hat's off to him. Within 20 minutes of talking to this man, and as I actually laid out the argument of Madison's vetoes and all of these other facts of the 1798 resolution, so forth and so on, well, here's a man that actually says, you know what, I was wrong. You're right. I completely agree with you, as he started putting things into context. And so that was kind of this beginning, and it was an important relationship and an important bond with his organization. But more importantly, it actually helped me, and I don't want to say penetrate, but be able to try to weave through what they're trying to do and understanding that brought me to Brent Winters and brought me to some of these other folks regarding common law grand jury. And again, I want to reference Mark Erbach. He was hey, what do you know about common law grand juries? And I want you to know that the common law grand jury, even though it has not been really fully utilized as a weapon that it's supposed to be, we have this opportunity. And that's why we, you know, as I started looking at it and I go, you know what, this is it. This is another, and I don't mean it as in, you know, it is the final weapon. This is another fulcrum. So let's look at our First Amendment right as a fulcrum, and a common law grand jury is a fulcrum in moving local governments to taking a stand on the Constitution and demanding full protection. And when I say local governments, I'm talking about that down at the county level. And so as you start moving your county with either the First Amendment petition and then this common law grand jury, you actually, because as I've said before, this common law grand jury will actually make not an indictment on a person, but it will declare, it will make a declaration that the Constitution and our constitutional rights cannot be suspended by any politician, only when the politicians who have the authority to call forth the militia to declare and the three things that are within the Constitution that they can declare is one, for executing the laws of the Union, two, for suppressing insurrections, and three, for repelling invasions. Well, I can tell you right now that they can call forth the militia and repel the invasion that we're going through with Mexico. And I should say all of these Latin Americans in America. That has been an invasion, and you'll get this out of my article, as a matter of fact. But more importantly, this common law grand jury is now making a declaration that there no politician can be considered eligible to maintain their office if they've actually supported unconstitutional government, such as suspending your constitutional rights and so forth. And so when we come back, we will talk about the common law grand jury and this declaration and what this really means, because this, like I said, is the trigger that forces everybody to look at the bigger picture to say, oh my gosh, what else is it that our politicians can't do that's not a violation? Let's get rid of them all. We'll be right back.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so where were we? Well, let me pick up where we've kind of just left off before those last two promos. These common law grand juries, as they start happening in red counties and dark red states, the people... Because who is a part of the common law grand jury? Well, the sheriff convenes it, and he provides the guidance and so forth. But it's you, the people, that actually go through the evidence, and you're the ones that are going to declare that there is no constitutional authority anywhere within the Constitution as defined by the ratification debates, which are the legal binding documents in defining and clarifying that Constitution. There is zero evidence that supports any of the rulings that the Supreme Court or anybody has conjured up, and that no politician can constitutionally suspend anybody's constitutional rights without calling forth the militia, because the militia is the only constitutional force in executing the laws. As I've stated in my article, get my article and read this. What is the real problem and martial law in the 21st century? Both of these are available on reclaimingtherepublic.org Constitutional Articles page. Go to that page, pull those documents up, read through them. I provide you all the evidence. I actually give you the framers' words. You cannot suspend our rights without calling forth the militia. And, oh, by the way, the only time you can call forth the militia is for three very specific purposes. And so the reason for calling forth the militia now for the sheriffs is to, and so this is where the sheriff now, after he gets this declaration from the common law grand jury, he now has authority of the people to call, to summon the people to form into a militia and enforce the Constitution. As the Constitution directs in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15. And so, as we start actually playing the hand, using the Constitution as our weapon. Wow. I'm telling you, friends, all we have to, it's, so even though in the movie, The Lord of the Rings, even though Gandalf doesn't do anything but break the spell, it's about wakening the people up, wakening the state legislators up, wakening your sheriffs, wakening your, you know, hashtag woke up. I hate this bad English. It's like using the word folks. I say folks because everybody, so many people are used to hearing the word folks, F-O-L-K-S, that when you say folk, people go, well, what was that? Almost like a cuss word. And the fact of the matter is, folks is improper English, right? It's like geese's or people's anyway. So when you wake up our public servants and actually when you give them the call, and this is my guidance for every sheriff, for every county commissioner that actually calls forth and summons a grand jury. This is my guidance that they, you know, use the rule of thumb that, you know, they need to do the due diligence in determining whether a politician was callously disregarding your liberties or whether they were told by some erroneous legal source. You got to understand that sometimes people do go, hey, you know, can I do this? Should I do this? They don't just go, aha, here's my chance of seizing power, like Governor Inslee, like Cuomo, and some of the rest of these idiots, some of the rest of these treasonous public servants. And so as we start moving forward, we now have a mechanism with using common law grand jury to unseat people because they have severely violated the Constitution. But that's not where it stops. This is where it all begins, because the real trigger of this movement is the following question. What else is unconstitutional that they can't do so that we know what we can remove them for? Can they and start walking down? Can they actually have a federal park? No. Boom. So supporting federal park, can they give us tax dollars for our highways and our byways and waterways? No. Boom. So any public servant that starts taking money and starts doing business with unconstitutional government or, you know, engages in a government fashion with the federal government on unconstitutional, like the EPA, energy, and the rest of these things, then they're violating their oath of office and boom, they're gone. They need to be disqualified. They are not need to be. They are disqualified because they're not supporting the Constitution. If you understand, and I'm hoping that, you know, all of these people, Bob Schultz, Sheriff Mack, and everybody else I'm dealing with, because they're, I don't want to say they're slow on the uptake. Look at me. It's taken me all this time to, you know, put all these pieces together to actually pull this concept up that, this is all what forces us up to the state levels and hurries the states in the exigencies of saving our Constitution before the communists successfully revolt. Folks, if you have family members that are communists, or if you remember earlier this year I covered the Tory Acts, you may have to be prepared to say goodbye to them because we're not here to, you know, we don't believe the end justifies the means, but we do believe in being, you know, living by the rule of law and living by the laws of the land as it's been, as we and our forefathers, you know, created under, you know, under the divine hand of providence. We have had, and I don't even want to call it an experiment, we have had the opportunity of living in a life of liberty that is just unfathomable by any other society. And we've, let's just say we've had a disregard. We've become apathetic. We have, you know, not been vigilant in understanding what this all means. And now the brown stuff is hitting the fan, if you know what I mean. And now that stuff's slinging all across the room. And I'm telling you, it's not pretty and it stinks. we have, and I'm sorry with all the imagery with these metaphors, but we have to start. We have to begin. We have to demand that every public servant complies to their oath of office, not just, you know, your county clerks and your county commissioners and your sheriffs and your state legislators, everybody. Everybody within the federal government down at all levels, everybody must comply to the Constitution. So as I, you know, as I finally sitting here now today, I've realized that the First Amendment act process that Bob Schultz is using, it can become a fulcrum in demanding that our Constitution be complied with, and how people are not complying, how there are basically, what is the best way to say this? They are blatantly violating the Constitution in every which way, and they don't even know it. And that way, that First Amendment petitioning for the redress of grievances is a mechanism in poking politicians and government in the eye to say, you have no business violating this Constitution and your oath. Do you know that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment calls for you to be, you are disqualified, calls for you to step down and to be banned? Let's start waking people up. Let's start getting this information. And this is not GR's message. This is the message of the Constitution. This is the message of the framers. They're speaking from the dust, and they're yelling to be honest. They are trying to get our attention. It's all right there. It's all in the Constitution. I used to roll my eyes when people would come up with these pithy little comments, because they'd say, oh, well, the Constitution is the solution. Well, okay, so tell me, where is it in the Constitution that the solution? Nobody knew. And so that's what really bothered me. And that's where it's been my lifelong journey. Okay, if that's the truth, because, you know, it bothered me that they'd say that, not tell me, well, okay, here's the solution. And it took a lot of digging, and it's been a long journey. But in this journey, I have recognized that some of the things that are being used for evil has actually been created for good. As we look at the internet and the filth and the despair that it creates, it's actually, you can tell the design of the internet was for the good, for the betterment of man, because without the internet, I would not have had access to all of these awesome documents that are now online. The Congressional Globe. You don't have to go to, I mean, if you live in some small little town and you have decent internet and you're nowhere close to a large resourced library, which are becoming ancient relics, my friends, you still have access to almost every document in the world. You know, you have to put down all these other distractions, whether it be sports, whether it be games, whether it be porn, whatever your vice is, don't let it destroy us, and don't let it destroy you. We all have to become masters in slaying our dragons, and we all have to recognize and take a stand. Now is the time to stand, my friends. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.